when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good evening to all of you people all over the world. You are listening to Blood River Radio, and we have another hot show for you tonight. February, all the month of February is Dresden month. And to kind of paraphrase what Tom Goodrich said last week on our show, it should be every day in every year should be Dresden Day and Dresden month. But it all fits in perfectly with our mission, our flagship mission here at Blood River Radio. Our crusade is we are to fight like hell against global white genocide. Dresden, Germany was global white genocide on display. We're getting ready to go to our dynamite guest just a minute. Paul English, if you listened in last week, he's calling in tonight again. He's been so gracious. It's about midnight over there where he is. And also, Mr. Marine Jeans himself, Gene Andrews, the Hell for Leather Marine, Vietnam Marine officer. He's going to be in. He's going to run this interview again with Paul English. But I'm just going to make one fast announcement. Most of our announcements are going to be the second hour because we're not going to keep this guy up any later than necessary. But we have arrived, y'all. We have been deplatformed. The one little took us about a month to get our donation button up there. We were out a small fortune for us, our little money, not to count the like $146 a month to keep that sucker up there. Well, it hadn't been working for a long time. I wonder why we wouldn't get any donations. But we've been deplatformed, so evidently we're no longer flying under the radar. Well, I'm going to shut up now. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the prayer, and then we're going to bring Mr. Marine Jeans on, and we're going to bring our honored guest on. And Gene's going to run the rest of the interview tonight. I'm going to shut up. Now, go ahead, Lee. Go with the prayer, fella.
Okay. Everybody bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, please help our political prisoners here in America, and please help the people in South Africa to help them survive genocide by the tribal leaders. And please help us to expose a worldwide threat of Zionism and to expose secret combinations. And in Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, amen.
Thank you so much, Lee. And I would also like to add, Lord, if you will, do what you have to do. Drop fire and brimstone on this nation for having, I cannot believe we have a flaming, fairy homosexual who's one of the front runners of the Democratic Party for president. How are you doing tonight, Mr. Green Jeans?
Eddie, doing just great. How are you doing? I really enjoyed your intro there with Mick from the Rocky movies. That's great.
Well, hey, man. Hey, I handpicked that song in the one and only Sam Bushman put it up there and got it dialed in. Whatever he did worked great. Yep, that was I love it. I never get tired of that.
One of my favorite characters in the movies. Stay away from Creed, Rocky. He's going to hurt your payment, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I love that too. I hope our honored guest, Paul English, liked it. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
I'm doing fine, guys. You're all lulling me back into a more relaxed state. I'm just sat there listening to you, chattering on. It was great. So I'm fine. Yeah.
We're just our old Southern redneck self.
We've got a great guest on here, and Paul, I'm going to bow out and let him take the microphone and talk to our listeners and give us his information because I know it's going to be great. So, Mr. English, if you'd take over, please, and give us whatever information you need on Dresden, the destruction that was brought down on the innocent civilians in Germany, and the Holocaust that was started by the American government and American military under Eisenhower and Roosevelt. So, sir, if you would take it from here, please.
Sure, yeah, just so that I know what I'm doing, because I don't think I do. I don't think I do, right? So, how does this actually run through? Do you just want me to talk a little bit about Dresden, or are we going to talk back and forth about it?
No, I'll let you go ahead and talk about Dresden. This is your area of expertise, and what you and Mr. Goodrich have been doing and working together. And I'd like to, sure, for our listeners to get some more information from you. We had last week you gave us part of the audio that you had done, and if you want to start again with that, or if you just want to go from your notes and your information, and we might want to start and have you just give us a little bit of a review of what we went over last week about the cost in lives of the civilians that were literally incinerated at Dresden, and then, of course, the attack on Hamburg as well and some of the other German cities. So if you could start there and kind of pick us up and bring us on forward from there, please, sir.
Sure, yeah. Well,
hey,
sure.
Gene and Paul, one quick announcement here in your favor. It seems that Mr. Marine James is picking up quite a following. We also had, after I talked to Gene, I think yesterday or today, we already have another person who bought the book, Hitler's Declaration of War. Thanks to Gene. He said that Gene Andrews, the second person, has commented on that just in the last day or two. So, guys, y'all are doing some good. You're doing a great amount of good. We've already had people that never even heard of the book that bought it because of you, Gene. You announced it. I'm going to shut up now, and Gene, take over, and Paul, take over.
No, it's to Mr. English. It's his show right now. Go for it.
It's a good job. I know what I'm going to say, isn't it? or do I? Well, you've given me quite a few leads there. I'm just thinking, what's the best point to start off with? I think maybe, just on a personal level, I'll just let you know very briefly how I bumped into Tom. I think it's just worth covering this ground again, because Tom, or Michael as he's sometimes known, but I do refer to him as Mr. Goodrich to avoid all confusion and also to be ridiculously formal with him, which usually gets a laugh. But Tom, I'd known of for some years because I'd known of his book. But I picked up a copy about 2014. So that's some just under 6 years ago. Now, I can't believe that's 6 years ago, but it is, isn't it? And I managed to get a series of interactions going with Tom because we had a mutual connection who put us in touch. And then we had a few phone conversations. He's just a great guy, and his whole approach to his history research. And I was just intrigued initially how he had compiled and pulled all the information together into that book. And I think we possibly touched on this briefly last week during the 15, 20 minutes I was on at the back end of last week.
Yes, sir.
And he mentioned to me, and this is worth repeating as well, I've probably said it before, but that there are German clubs in America, or there certainly were when he was doing the research, and there certainly had been for a long time, and I suppose some must still be there. And so he was drawn into them. I don't know what compelled him to do this, but he went into them and was talking to people who would have been young children, young German children, I guess, or teenagers, during this conflict who were still alive, people in their 80s and 90s, I guess. All with very lucid and highly personal, and ultimately, as anybody who's read the book, with no distressing anecdotes about that period in history.
Well, Paul, we have to take a quick break.
I
have the music.
Music, so yeah, I'll.
Oh, good. Glad you're here. Well, people will be right back, and as we said earlier, this is Dresden Month, and we're going to hammer Dresden, man, and we're going to hammer global white genocide. We'll be right back, people. Hang on to your seats.
Kosher, certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
A Bienus is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, people, we're right back after the break. We're going to go right back to Mr. Paul English because we, like I said, we're going to go over Dresden week. We're going to cover Dresden every weekend this month. So hang on, people. We're going right back to Paul. Carry on, Paul.
Hi, yeah, no, good. It's good to be back. Yeah, where was I? Yeah, Michael or Thomas, Mr. Goodrich had done a lot of his research in the German clubs, and so we ended up talking a great deal about that because I was keen, as I just mentioned there before the break, to try and find out how he'd actually, you know, researched it, and then we talked, and he is a trained historian, so these things came out as well. He's not just some guy that puts books together, and I get on with him great. It's just been fantastic. So it's developed into a real friendship, really, over the past year or so. And I contacted him at one point. It would have been about 18 months ago, I suppose, the back end of 2018, just before the end of that year, and I said, hey, what about, you know, have you ever thought about doing this as an audio book? And he said, yes. In fact, I've just been talking to somebody about it this morning. So I spoke to him. He wasn't in the States at the time. So I think my timing was pretty good, or I got lucky, or I got unlucky, depending on what your perspective is. So I ended up doing that. And it was my first bash at that sort of thing. I've done some other stuff, smaller stuff since then, but you know, as I said before, it's 14 hours long. It was great to do. I've barely listened to it since I did it. But the story, the narrative, the information in the book is obviously more than just about Dresden. I mean, but Dresden is obviously, it's more than just a symbolic event. It's obviously, it's a real event. But it actually, from my perspective, I think it contains many of the signals, as it were, that we are receiving today in terms of the attack upon the remnant. I don't want to use that word, but it is currently that word, the remnant of white Western Christian civilization. And in many ways, Dresden is this monstrous attack on innocent people. Of that, there's no doubt. And of course, I think one of the when you're young, when I was young, I was born in 1960. So in the 60s, growing up in Britain, watching war films on TV, of course, it was like a million years ago to me. When you're seven or eight, something that's 20 years ago might as well be a million years ago. It's just huge. You can't even begin to sort of conceive of it. I remember seeing all the footage on TV in black and white, as you did. There were lots of history series and this. But it was ancient, even though my father was in it. He was in the Royal Navy. But he never talked about it much. Not that he was sort of shell-shocked or anything. I think he just had a rather scathing view of the whole thing, that it was a complete waste, ultimately, which turned out realistically to be true, but it's kind of worse than that. And here we are now in 2020, and yet that conflict and the things that took place in it are being manifested in all sorts of other ways, but on a more global canvas, as it were. I know it's ridiculous when you're talking about a world war, but if I look at all the white nations, we've got Australia and New Zealand and South Africa, and there's America and there's Canada and there's the United Kingdom and there's mainland Europe. And wherever our people are, they're under duress. And the duress that they put the Germans under, this is the thing about the Dresden thing, is that the war ended 4 months after that. This is in February, intentionally picked to be on Valentine's Day, when a lot of people would be out walking around in Dresden, a very beautiful city, prior to the arrival of this onslaught. And it was picked for all sorts of venal reasons. Of that, there can be very little doubt. There was no reason to do it. Anybody that's not read just Hellstorm, but any sort of account of Dresden will know that the town or the city was swollen with huge numbers of refugees that had been escaping the Russians as they rapidly moved into Germany from the east. And so there was probably double the amount of people there. And a party was being held, and they were in a reasonably decent mood, I suppose. I don't know how to describe it. I wasn't there. Maybe they weren't. But they certainly weren't under any vicious attack on February the 12th. But come the next day, there's effectively 18 hours or whatever it is of non-stop bombing, which, of course, as everybody's aware, created this firestorm. And it's not the first city that endured a firestorm. This Hamburg was hit horrifically as well. But the loss of life was huge. And interestingly, obviously, it's the 75th anniversary of this. So there's been slightly more prominent reminders of it over here on British television. Okay, now I'm saying it like that because the view of most people in Britain at the moment with regards to their national broadcaster, the BBC, is a very poor view. Let me put it that way. That's English understatement for you. I tend to view the BBC now as the Bolshevik brainwashing corporation. It's got very little to do. Yeah, really. Seriously, that's the shorthand for it. It's got very little to do with representing or preserving or upholding the culture and traditions of the British people. It doesn't do that. It's effectively the most deadly arm, I would say, of the globalist mind controllers. That if you are running television systems nonstop, and they are seeded with all this garbage and junk, people are prone to this. It's not that people are stupid. It's just like brainwashing can be subtle, but if it's relentless, it will work. And that's what we've got with television. It's relentless. It's nonstop, 24 hours a day, embedded through the system, and people will consume it, unfortunately. So, the Britain or the spirit of the British that existed during World War II, and I'm not knocking our guys. That's not what this is about. But that doesn't exist anymore at the moment. If it does, it probably does. But it's latent. It's in very small pockets. And it needs to be restored. But not with a view to waging war on our brothers in Germany. Because the simple truth is that in the 1930s over here, no one, that's normal people, did not want another war with Germany. It overwhelmingly did not want one. And the Dresden event is almost like a summation of the abuse of everybody in this. It's a terrible thing. I mean, 50,000 British airmen lost their lives going over there. That's a considerable number. It is, of course, dwarfed in great number by the number of casualties on the ground. No one comes out of this good. It's a terrible, terrible thing. But this was not a thing by or for the British people, which may sound lame to other people. I could accept that. But there were forces at the helm of the nation at that time, and those forces are still at the helm of this nation right now, who really don't give a tinker's cuss about what we want, as long as they can use this place, you know, to bring about what they want. And Dresden was a hellish example of that, I'm afraid.
Well, I tell you, Mr. English, you don't have to beat up on the BBC too badly. It's no better over here on the other side of the pond. Our news media, the prostitutes, as we call them, control the media, and we only get one side of every story. It's damaging to this country. It's made us enemies all around the world. People don't fly airplanes into your buildings and try to kill 3,000 Americans because they like you. We have created a lot of hatred from our actions, not only during World War II, but continually since then. And it's come back to bite us several times. We in the South talk about the destruction of this country began in 1861 with Lincoln's election, and it's gone downhill since then. This arrogance that no matter what the enemy is, whether it's Southerners or the Plains Indians, if you stand up to the United States government, you just deserve to be exterminated. And that's what they've tried to do to us, and they're still trying to do today. And just like you pointed out, it's white genocide, and we're facing in cities in this country exactly what is going on in South Africa and some of these other countries and Rhodesia after the you know, after the white governments were driven out there.
Gene, looks like we got to go to another break, fella.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you can hear the music or not, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back right where we started. I might read a little passage and run it by you and Paul when we come back. Anyway, people, hang on to your seats right back. We'll be right back. You're enjoying Dresden Mud. So we'll be right back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
New developments involving the coronavirus. First up, we learn a Chinese person in France, the first patient in Europe to die from the disease. Also in the news, the State Department allowing 400 Americans on board that Princess cruise ship docked in Japan to leave. They will be quarantined for another 14 days at a military base in San Antonio, Texas. President Trump talking about the situation at the White House Friday.
I spoke with President Xi of China, and he's working very hard on this. It's a tremendous problem, but they're very capable, and they'll get to it. There's a theory that in April, when it gets warm, historically, that has been able to kill the virus, so we don't know yet.
In other news, change coming to Spirit Airlines, the company moving its operations control center from South Florida to Nashville, Tennessee. The $11 million investment will create 350 new jobs. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Allen Root, relentless conservative warrior, middle-class warrior, and always Trump warrior. I have a message for my fellow patriots across America. President Trump is making America great again. He's the only president of my lifetime who is keeping his promises, and his biggest promise is to build that wall. President Trump can only do it with our help. If Congress won't fund Trump's wall, we will. President Trump is one man against the world, and what globalists and socialists around the world want is clear, open borders. It's time to take a stand. We either build the wall, or it's the end of the greatest nation world history ever blessed by God. That's why I founded the Root for the Wall PAC. 63 million Trump voters together will raise the money President Trump needs for the wall. Anyone who donates $100 or more will get a beautiful commemorative wall brick. Display it proudly. Call 844-ROOT-WALL. That's toll free, 844-ROOT-WALL, or go to rootwall.com. We will build this wall together. Call 844-ROOT-WALL or go to rootwall.com. Root for the Wall PAC. Paid for and responsible for the content of this message. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. rootwall.com.
President Trump sending tactical units from Border Patrol to sanctuary cities across the country to help ICE agents deal with criminal illegal aliens. The president speaking at a news conference with Border Patrol agents in Washington, D.C.
The people of ICE are incredible. They've taken out thousands and thousands of MS-13. As long as I'm president of the United States, you will always have a loyal champion in the Oval Office because I am with you like no president has ever been with you.
More now on this story from USA Radio's John Hunt.
The deployment deployment of Customs and Border Patrol agents, some with tactical training, to the interior of the country represents another escalation in the confrontation between the Trump administration and the local jurisdictions that have set up roadblocks to immigration enforcement. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Director Matthew Albians said additional forces are needed because people without legal authorization to be in the country are being released from local jails into sanctuary cities before his agents can take them into custody.
This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, we're right back, and we're getting ready to go right back to Paul. Gene, do you have any questions to ask to Paul?
No.
Or any comments?
I'd like to for him to pick up where we left off before our break and just continue right on there. I think he's got so much information that our listeners need to hear and understand what's going on to us today, this worldwide genocide against our people, every continent, every side of the globe, it's going on, and we need to wake up to it and really realize what's happening to us. So, Mr. English, if you would continue, please, sir.
Yeah. I'm going to make a quick comment. I'm going to just a quick comment, Paul. You know, we had a letter from one of our dear listeners, Gene knows him. His name is Buddy. He's a big historian, and he sent me a letter. I'm not going to read the letter. It's kind of long, but he said that there were some books published right after World War II, and a lot of the 8th Air Force pilots were interviewed. They interviewed tail gunners, front gunners, the bombardiers, pilots, co-pilots, engineers. They interviewed them all, and they said to the man, they said that war, that Churchill, the bloody murdering Churchill and his cohort, FDR, they intentionally targeted. And these are the guys flying the planes. They said that they weren't going after military targets at that time. They were deliberately targeting the cities to try to kill as many civilians as they possibly could. They wanted blood in the streets. And so this has been verified by, there's other books out there. I'm just backing up what Paul English says. Paul English is telling you the flat truth. Anyway, I thought I'd just throw that in there. Our buddy sent me that, and he wanted me to tell you that you're not alone. So go ahead, Mr. Paul. Take off, fella.
No, he's bang on with that. I mean, I'm shocked, of course, that you don't like Winston Churchill. That's a joke, by the way. okay.
This conversation is dripping with sarcasm here tonight.
Yeah, well, you've got to forgive me, but we're very cynical, sarcastic people, really. We've just we're full of spite and bile, and that's how it tends to come out. But I think you know, the Churchill is obviously pivotal in this. The guy. It's just, you know, you can't kind of make this up. Growing up as a child, of course, one doesn't question anything, certainly because you don't have the information on which to base any intelligent questions. You're given one narrative as you go through school, and the television and the movies are riddled with the same narrative because there's a control operation in charge of this, you know. They embed our teaching through all the fiction that we consume and the films that we consume, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, anybody growing up in England from 1960 onwards would think that the sun shone out of Churchill's bottom, you know, and that this is the guy that saved the empire and all this other stuff. Whereas, in fact, every single thing that's written about him, the complete opposite is the case. He destroyed the empire. In fact, you guys picked it up lock, stock and barrel. But when I use the phrase you guys, I don't really mean you. I mean the same force that was in charge of the so-called British Empire morphed and is in charge of the American Empire, if that's what you want to call it. So
exactly. Yes, sir.
Used to be the guys that were sent around all over the place kicking 10 bells out of people, and we were very good at it, and we did certain things. It wasn't all bad, but that's what went on. Anyway, they tired of that because they, you know, obviously the economic base of America dwarfs what we were able to do by geographical design, you know. So you became the global policeman. They decided that that's going to be your job, and you took that on lock, stock and barrel after World War II. In between the wars, a kind of a handover process. So if you look at the two nations, the people, the grassroots people, have a great deal in common, and they have also endured a very similar sort of fate, which is that they're governed by aliens who don't give a tinker's cuss about us. And this has always been the case. It's just that, you know, that they are able, to pull the wool over our eyes, not because we're thick, but because in many cases we are just distracted. We don't have the opportunity, or certainly our forefathers wouldn't have had the opportunity, to see the other side. What's occurred, obviously, in the world over the last 20 years, particularly, is the arrival of the internet and the alternative narrative, or the narrative as written by the so-called losers in history, has become available to many of us that are curious about these things. And so you end up, or I end up, and maybe you're familiar with this as well, you'll end up in a conversation with somebody who's crystal clear that they know the truth about these things, but that's based on them only knowing one side of the story, which is the established mainstream media story. When you know both sides, or more than one side to the story, you realize that you're actually having a discussion, possibly even an argument with somebody, who is massively ill-equipped to deal with you. And yet that won't make any difference, because they're unaware of the other information. Your conversation is only half a conversation, and it usually ends, or has often ended for me, you know, with some kind of accusatory remark. You're mad. You don't know what you're talking about. That kind of stuff. Everybody's dealt with that, right? And I calmly try and point people and say, well, you really ought to try and read some things. There are some things that you might, that if you read them, would assist you greatly to get a much fuller spectrum view of what's taking place here, because it's not what you think it is. I've mentioned it before on discussions. I have a colleague in Germany, and he was born just after the war, and therefore he received the full onslaught of the rigged, brainwashing German education system. That's what he got. And because they restructured the entire education system for young Germans after World War II. And unfortunately, it's been very effective on him. And I've had these, I don't know whether the word hilarious is right, but rather amusing, quirky conversations with him at times, which have gone something like this. He said to me, he said, no, we were really, really bad. We wanted to take over the world. And I say, I think you're missing the point. We'd already done that. I said, we'd already done that a lot. I said, we'd been doing that for a long time, and we'd done it, right? So you weren't trying to do that. I said, you know, the questions I've thrown back to him, because the Germans have got an issue with this as well, you see, and I'll come to that as well on the news here this week. There's big problems for Germans. There's many awake Germans, and there's others that are going to be, unfortunately, probably go to their grave not knowing what's really taking place. But the, you know, I said, okay, look, you have a nation at that time, your nation, Germany, with a population of about 72 million, I think it is. I said, it's hemmed in on every side. And what you're telling me, we all know about this vaunted reputation, a true one as well, for the German ability to organize, to get things done effectively, to produce things, to be rigorous, to be disciplined, to be Teutonic in their approach. It's very admirable. These are admirable qualities. We like them very much, right? So I accept that, right? And Germans agree with themselves that they're very good at these things, and they are. So what you're asking me to sort of take on board is this, that a nation that was at the time the richest per capita nation in the world by 1939, because you have to understand the 1930s to understand the 1940s, to understand Dresden, to understand everything else. It's just a big domino effect. I said, you've got a nation that dug itself out of the doo-doo big time from 1933, and suddenly, for some really strange reason, it decides to throw all that in the toilet, and it's going to take on the French Empire, the British Empire, the Russian might, and the American Empire, right? So, and I'm supposed to believe that these are the actions of an intelligent bunch of people. I say, it's rubbish. Because obviously the mainstream view we get here is Germany very, very bad, evil. They wanted to take over the world, you know. Those evil Nazis. It's what always comes up again and again and again, yada, 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 yada. It never stops. And the people that bring it up never really question it. I've said to him, I said, look, it's really easy to work out World War II. It goes like this. I said, Germany begins with the letter G, and so does the word good. And Britain begins with the letter B, and so does the word bad. I said, now you know what's going on. I said, I'm not talking about the people on the ground. I'm talking about the driving force that's in control of my country. And it wanted to wage war and annihilate the German people, which is what Churchill was all about. There's a quote from him. He was speaking to a guy called Lord Boothby, in letters and things. And this was also something that he'd referenced back in the 1930s. This is when Churchill was not in power, but was he would basically, Churchill was just a political opportunist. He would be a liberal if that was going to get him a seat. He'd be a conservative. He'd be anything, right? He was just basically a political whore. There's no other way to describe it. And but one of the things he said that Germany, I'm paraphrasing from memory, something along the lines of, Germany's big mistake before the war was to set up its own exchange system and to exclude world capital from a share in its profits. Now, this is absolutely the root of it, because Germany thrived because of their economic restructuring, and they excluded international banking the opportunity of profiting off of the back of Germany whilst Amen. Contributing nothing. And that's the prime driver, because people that were going to Germany were seeing this economic miracle that had taken place.
Paul, we have another break, and when we come back, you just punched one of my buttons. I've got to ask you a quick question when we come back. People, hang on. We got another segment to go, so please go get your cup of coffee, but don't go far. We'll be right back.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Well, thank you, people. Thank you so much for holding on. We're got one more segment here. We're going to go right back to Mr. Paul English. But I got a quick question to ask. He said something that's really, really vital. You know, he said that during the 1930s that, Germany was really an economic miracle. We would call it an economic miracle. And it was primarily dependent upon one of the things that depended on, of course, the people. We can never discount the power of the German people. They're probably... If there is a superior race, I would say it would have to be the Germans. You know, they proved it over and over. But they devised this unique financial system, and I believe it was based on like an hour's labor. It was based on a man's labor. It could be a man working in the coal mines, a man working in a steel mill. It could be a man working in a chemical plant. But the way they did that, and Paul can correct me if I'm wrong, they did away, completely did away with these parasitic international Jewish bankers. They pretty much kicked them the hell out of Germany, and they were thriving. Now, the question I have for Mr. Paul was that, did the Jews, you know, international Jews, this is fact, me and Gene talked about it last week, Gene verified what I said was true, the international Jews, the international Jewry, declared war on Germany. Way before the shooting war started, they declared it in the 1930s. Gene had the date last week. Now, did they declare war on Germany after the Germans went to this unique monetary system, or was it before? In other words, do you think that's it?
1932, and I'm looking up right now in M.S. King's book, The Bad War. They have. A copy of that newspaper published in New York City, the Jewish press did, and the headline is "Hitler Must Die." And they upset the Rothschilds bank so much that they wanted Hitler killed and they wanted Germany wiped out before the first shot was ever fired in 1939.
So, in other words, Gene, you're saying with all money, go ahead, Paul.
Before most hostilities, yeah.
So that's the same thing's going on. Anybody, and I'm going to shut up, but it looks to me like that the international Jews who they control, you know, they control our country. It's no secret. They'll tell you. They control England. They control the entire West. They're trying to get a hold of Russia. But so in other words, you are going to, when I say you, the goyim, the world, we're either going to work to be their slaves or they're going to declare all mighty war on us. We have two options with them: to be their slaves, or they'll kill us. So that's what's. I think that's what went on there. Every country in the world right now, all Western countries, and probably Russia even too. We have these central banks, and every one of these central banks are run by you knows who. They're run, but they're run by these international Jew bankers, and they're also in charge. They're your last, your current. In your next world war. Now I'm going to shut up about that, Mr. Paul. If you want to, you can elaborate on that. You and or Gene.
Well, here it is, 1933. The Daily Express, London. Judea declares war on Germany. Jews of all the world unite in action. That's the headline. And this is 1933, and you know the first shots weren't even fired till 1939. So. Hitler didn't declare war on the Jews. It was the Jews that declared war on Germany and on Hitler. And here's pictures of them with these signs, boycott all German goods, boycott of Nazis, boycott German industry, don't buy German goods. So they went after Germany and went after Hitler before any of the fighting took place. There you have it right there, printed in black and white.
They did. The main ringleader of that, the main spokesperson, was Samuel Untermeyer in your neck of the woods. I don't know whether he was head of the World Jewish Congress or whatever it was called back then, but he was a very powerful figure within Jewish circles. And he was the rabble-rouser for the whole thing, and it was very effective, you know, from their point of view. This is even before he'd taken office, really. But it's because they had intimations of what he was going to do, and he did them. When he came to power, you see, he was a great embarrassment as well to Roosevelt. Roosevelt nicked all your gold, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he just took out all the Americans' gold and came out with all this blather. And you have to remember, Roosevelt was an international communist, basically, and loyal to this sort of scam, as was Churchill. And both of them had the same handler, whose name I've completely just shot out of my head just now. It was in there a second ago. But they both have the same handler, same Jewish handler for the whole thing.
Well, Morgenthau was one of them, and Roosevelt's cabinet or cabinet advisor.
Morgenthau was part of Roosevelt's clique, wasn't he?
Bernard Baruch was another one.
Bernard Baruch, handler. He certainly handled Churchill. There's all these photographs of them as old men with Baruch guiding Churchill, I suppose, to the toilet or something. I don't know when they're very old, but I'll come to that later on. Anyway, he was an embarrassment because they had just under 7 million men unemployed in Germany. And by 1936, with inside 3 years, he'd put 5 million of them back to work. Mm-hmm. And they did this by a form of public works, but not the way that, not by stealing Germans' gold, but by issuing a certain purchasing note as a form of sort of a treasury bond. And they were used to put value into the nation by building autobahns, railway systems, getting their manufacturing back up to speed, blah, 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 all of these things. So they basically refunded themselves. And this is why you will see often that Hitler refers to the fact that the value is on work, not on the currency unit, which is the case. It certainly was then. And it worked spectacularly well. So well, in fact, that it would be dangerous for the international banking community to have ambassadors from other countries floating over to Germany, because everybody that did go, and members of the British royal family at the time went, they were knocked out by what was happening. And during the 1930s, from about 1935 onwards, because this thing happened very rapidly, this recovery, German cruise liners were not allowed to dock in Britain. They weren't allowed to. Why? Because the people on these German cruise liners were considerably wealthy in comparison to your average British peasant, right? And they didn't want the British talking to the Germans and finding out that the Germans are having this fantastically effective lifestyle with cars and taking holidays and having a nice time, because didn't they lose World War One? We see the whole game was up because everybody thinks that the British lived in the lap of luxury during the British Empire. Well, they didn't. They were being shot to bits, and their wives back at home were working in mills, and their children were starving. And it was like what Dickens wrote about. It was foul. Because the country is governed by aliens. It has been for a long time. And, the term the British Empire, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't exist. That is, there was no empire by, of, or for the benefit of the British people. There was an empire of the City of London. That's a totally different thing. And its economic tentacles spread out from London, and they still connect into there to this very day. And without knowing all these things, as you build up a picture, you begin to get a much better perspective of what's actually taking place, which is that the storyline given by mainstream press all the time is simplistic cartoon pap, and you must go beyond that if you want to have any chance at all of understanding the forces that are at play, that are manipulating, bribing, controlling, and corrupting the people that should be leading you but can't. They can't lead you because there's like a gang, there's literally a mob. And they'll kill them if they step out of line, if it interferes with their global banking scam, you see. Because that's the history of it. These are not just sort of, funny words. It's all there.
Well, in this country, that's why the media hates President Trump so vehemently, that he has called their hand on the shadow government that we had, the deep state, the wheelers and dealers behind the scene, the globalists, the people like that. And they hate him with a passion because he's shown what they're doing. And so it just continues from one generation to the next. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's current events as well as history.
The situation is probably more complicated than that, because I think he's beholden to other forces. But I don't think it's necessarily where you want to go right now, because I don't trust any leader of any Western nation at all. And I think it would be a mistake to do that. For example, over here, the five most powerful positions.
Paul, let me make one quick comment before we run out of time. One of our listeners and one of our brothers sent something in that's very. One of our listeners sent in something that's absolutely vital. You mentioned Samuel Untermyer. Okay.
Yeah.
Our listener, our brother Rich, Gene knows who I'm talking about. He bankrolled the Schofield Bible, which is a Bible from hell, who bankrolled this guy named Darby. Also, that book you read, you mentioned the City of London. People, you can go to the, you can buy that book from the Institute of the Historical Review. We've had Mark on his name escapes me right now, but Mark, who heads up the Institute of Historical Review, they have that book. But I'm sorry, I want to interject that right there because y'all mentioned Samuel Unterweger. Go ahead, Paul. I just want to get that in. Well, it looks like we're out of time already. I'm sorry. We ran out of time about a minute earlier than I thought we were going to run out. Well, people, that's it. Thank you so much, Paul, for coming on tonight. And I apologize for misjudging our clock. Thank you, Gene. I'll be getting in touch with both you gentlemen ASAP. People, I hope you enjoyed this show tonight. It went all too fast. I think we crammed in about 3 hours into 1 hour. Hold on to your seats, people. We'll be right back after this long break, and we're going to have another guest up next. We're going to have Dr. Edward DeFries on, and Matt Goodwin's going to join us. Good night. Thank you so much for being on tonight, Gene. Thank you, Paul.